Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel, John 13, verses 1 through 17, and 31b through 35. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God.
The new commandment that Jesus gives his disciples on the night of his betrayal could have been anything. He could have said, pray five times a day. He could have said, don't eat meat. He could have said, get to the gym regularly. Don't forget to floss. He could have said, recite a creed every day, or go forth and conquer, smite the Hittites, something like that. The new commandment could have been, look out for number one. He could have said, I command you to go to church all the time, every Sunday. I command you to tithe. I would have appreciated that as a commandment. The new commandment that Jesus gives on the night of his Last Supper, on the night of his betrayal, is love one another as I have loved you. And when we hear that, we feel relieved at first because it sounds sweet and familiar, you know, love one another, like giving a Valentine or being nice or buying a Hallmark card. Love. We think we know all about that. After all, we use the word love all the time. We say we love Pinterest or basketball or Game of Thrones. We love that tie. We love that blouse. We love chocolate. We love the people in our life who are easy to love, but only so long as they're easy to love. Do you know what I'm saying? We might even think of romantic love, that rush of powerful feelings. Surely we can love one another that way. I mean, we can love one another as Jesus has loved us if what he means by love is a Hallmark card or like one of those e-cards. I can do that. I can send all of you an e-card. But consider the situation. Look at this night. We're in an upper room with Jesus, who is facing his upcoming betrayal, arrest, and death. And Jesus does something radical. He kneels and washes the feet of the disciples. Feet were quite filthy back then between the sandals and the dirt and everything that went along with the dirt back then. And washing feet was the job of a slave. Not something a person in Jesus' position would have done. When you were vanquished, when you're vanquished by someone, you are put under their feet. So Jesus is taking the lowest, lowest, lowest place. Not just taking a dirty job, doing an unpleasant chore. No, no, no. Taking the lowest place possible. So I think that the love that Jesus calls us to display looks like kneeling at someone's feet. This love is vulnerable. This love is difficult. This love looks like serious business. After all, we're all fans of the love one another part, but the love one another as I have loved you, that's the hard part, right? Because Jesus' love was so sacrificial. To love like that looks like caring for someone who's sick. Love looks like forgiveness and mercy and bathing and feeding. Jesus loves in a way that demanded something from Jesus. A love that went against convention. A love that loved first. While we were yet sinners, Jesus loved us first. So we are called to love one another first, while we are all yet sinners. Called to do the hard work of loving in the trenches of cancer and addiction and pain and brokenness and separation. Love that is a little candy heart, that's one thing. But love that looks like a basin and a towel, that looks like serious business to me. I know a hymn that is sort of about foot washing, and it goes like this. Jesus, Jesus, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. And it describes what Jesus does. It says, kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet, master who acts like a slave to them. And it occurred to me that when we picture Jesus kneeling at the feet of his friends, that makes me feel all lovey-dovey inside, because I would kneel at the feet of my friends. They are my friends. I would gladly serve the people that I already know and love. But one of the friends in the room is Judas Iscariot. Jesus washes the feet even of Judas. It would have been easier if he had just waited until Judas left the room before he tied the towel around his waist and knelt. This love looks difficult. It would be a matter of a moment before Judas would take his still damp feet out to betray Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Wash one another's feet. But here's the thing. What if we are all loved with the same deep, deep love of Jesus? If Jesus loved Judas, surely Jesus can love someone like me. And if Jesus loves us that much, who are we not to love one another? In a movie that came out a few years ago called Hook, it was based on a Peter Pan story. And Peter Pan grows up to be a middle-aged corporate attorney. Love it. And Pan goes back to Neverland to save his children who've been kidnapped by Captain Hook. And Pan has no memory of who he is. So he goes to Neverland like in his three-piece suit. And generally, he acts more like a bad guy than Peter Pan. And the lost boys are about to give up on him when one of them takes Peter's middle-aged face in his hands and he starts pulling and pushing and pulling and pushing and working with it. And all of a sudden, there's a flash of recognition, right? And he says, "There you are, Peter." Peter Pan still has no idea who he is, but the lost boys recognize him. And so maybe tonight we can recognize in ourselves and each other the beloved children of God that we are. Don't worry, you will not have to massage each other's faces at any point. Maybe when we look in the mirror and don't like what we see, or when we have to deal with even our own Judas Iscariot types, the ones that are hard to love, we can try a little Peter Pan face massage, you know? Until we see what Jesus sees. Child of God, beloved and precious. Sinner saved by grace. Loved to the end and beyond. Tonight, we are called to share in the Christian's family meal, where in the bread and wine, we experience the presence of Christ. In the bread and wine, we can take in the love and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus has for us. And we can commit again to take seriously the commandment that Jesus gives us tonight. Not just to put up with one another, not just to tolerate one another, but to love one another. We can commit to doing loving things, since the love Jesus calls us to is much more than just a passing feeling. This kind of love is saying, if you leave, I'm going with you. That kind of love. It's messy. It gets your hands dirty for the long haul, but this is the love to which we are called. Tonight, we do this again in remembrance of Jesus. It's an event that happened a long time ago, but in a way, whenever we do this together, we take our place at the table. We don't just remember it with our minds. When the body of Christ gathers, in a sense, it's remembered. In a sense, we all take our place. We wash and are washed. We love and are loved. We forgive and we are forgiven. Sometimes to receive love is actually harder than giving it. Sometimes to be forgiven is harder than to forgive somebody else. Sometimes having someone kneel at your feet is harder than taking a knee yourself. But that's what it means to be church. And Jesus said, we will be known as his disciples by how well and how deeply we love one another. Consider that. What if that's true? Because it could be. I mean, Jesus said it in everything. They won't know it by what is on our church sign. They won't know that we belong to him by the size of our mortgage or our budget. They won't know it by our church membership certificate or whether or not we have like a Glenmar bumper sticker or not. They won't know it by the fact that we have a fish on our van or a cross necklace on. They will know it by how we love each other and how we love them, whoever they are. That's how they'll know whether we're Jesus' disciples. Beloved, Jesus loves us with a love so deep and wide we cannot take it in. And that is the reason we have a shot at loving one another at all. And the more practice that we have at this washing thing, this loving thing, this serving thing, the better we will get at it. So come, take your place at the table. Eat and drink in remembrance of him. Wash and be washed. And let us love one another as he has loved us. Amen.